Let's talk about the science of real-time travel.
Okay.
When do you think, maybe you know, when do they achieve the ability to actually time travel, and is it done with a device, a machine? What does it?
Okay, well, first, actually, interestingly enough, the Wormhole Linear Accelerator, what's called the WLA, is what's going to be developed by the man named Tatos that we have discussed before. Tatos is a brilliant, he's sort of like a Da Vinci of his time. And he develops this wormhole linear accelerator, which will enlarge a microscopic wormhole to such a level that you can put a ship through it. He will experiment and be the first time traveler. This will be about the year 3050. So we're looking at the 31st century. Now, the problem with this for the next 300 years, give or take, is that through the end of the 34th century, time travelers do use this technology to come back in time. The scientific model for this, by the way, is known now. Kip Thorne actually developed the model in a physics newsletter for Carl Sagan to make his novel Contact. Remember the Jodie Foster movie?
Mm-hmm.
Based on that. He wanted to make it accurate, so he asked his good friend Kip Thorne, who's like a real genius and beat Stephen Hawking and Betts, you know, about that, those old deals. Kip Thorne, to me, is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. Anyway, he came up with this article in the Physical Review Letters in 1988, which gives the mentality of a wormhole. Now, the only difference here is that in the future, by 31st century, you can go back in time beyond the time the wormhole is the machine is developed. In other words, now current technology says if you develop a wormhole linear accelerator now, you can't go beyond the time when there wasn't one. But that's not true by the 31st century. Well, we also develop exotic matter, which we can't do now, which will have to line this wormhole linear accelerator so that basically you're not made into a French fry by the time you go through, which would happen if you didn't have exotic matter, and other problems would occur, radiation and heat, et cetera. Well, so that's the problem with that technology, though, with Tatos, who, by the way, goes back into ancient Egypt with the first time traveler team, which are Geb, Isis, Osiris, and Horus. I'm sure you all know what that means.
We've heard those names.
Right? Those are the Egyptian gods. They worship, of course, time travelers. The problem is every time you use the wormhole linear accelerator to go back in time, you're causing a tear in the fabric of space-time. That's why you have unusual weather circumstances. That's why frogs fall from the sky. You know those all those stories. The red ice and all the little things, those Fortean phenomena, as you would call it, those are actually some of those. Now, some of those are done by other reasons, but some of those, or actually the majority of those, are actually caused by the tears in the fabric of space-time. So now we fast forward to the 35th century, and now you have the greatest technological century in the history of mankind. There are exotic devices. People will live to be 500 to 900 years old because of the alpha synclinarium, which will help you to build up the body's DHEA production, which will help slow down and actually reverse the aging process. But what happens in time travel in the 35th century is teleportation now will be used to go back in time. Teleportation on a simple level, not time travel, just to transport from one place to another, will be established in every home in this planet by the 25th century. But they can't go back in time for another 1,000 years because it's extremely technical and complicated. By the 35th century, you don't need a craft. All you need, it looks like a little radio attached to your belt buckle, like Traxler and all these other time travelers and myself and Morning Song would do in the future. And you can just teleport back in time. No tear in the fabric of space-time. It's instantaneous. And one of the out of all the patients I've seen, this is, I think, very relevant, and I want to just spend a moment on this. I've seen about 14,000 different patients going through about 35,000 regressions and progressions over the last 33 years. But the only time I've ever worked with anyone other than myself in Morning Song that had an actual future life as a time traveler is described in my book, Past Lives, Future Lives Revealed. And this is a man, we call him, he's called Kamar in the future. This is the 35th century. And this is how he describes his initial experience with teleportation as he's being trained as a time traveler to teleport back in time. Here's Kamar's description.
Okay.
The entire trip was characterized by a strange feeling throughout my body. It was as though something twisted my body. I felt almost like I was caught in a giant web. Suddenly, the world exploded into countless billions of glowing threads. They stretched away in all directions, and they intersected everything, including me. The overall effect was very similar to looking at a hologram, except it was visceral as well as visual. You could see, feel the image, but you could also see, feel the interference pattern. The difference was that the interference pattern was not flat, but extended in all directions. These effects, of course, disappear almost immediately upon the arrival of the end of the session, if you will, and they get less and less as the time traveler becomes more experienced with his device. So that's the future, the ultimate of time travel, teleportation, which does not destroy the human body as people project today. They say you have to have a duplicate, be the one teleported, and that's current technology. But some of my colleagues, the scientists, if you will, are a little bit arrogant to think that they can predict what's going to happen in 1,500 years when they can't predict what's going to happen in 5 years.
How do they find the year to go back to, Bruce? I mean, is there a little dial on the device that's on their belt?
Well, we're talking about fifth-dimensional computer chips, so how do you relate to that? It's not like the Time Machine movie from 1960, you know, or...
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Okay. Think of our computers today. We have digital files. You could record on a TiVo, VCR, a DVD player. You can set things to the nanosecond, right? I mean, you can get pretty accurate. Think of that by about 10,000 magnified. They use these fifth-dimensional computer chips, and they know exactly to the second when they go back in time. So it is not a guesswork. They don't wind up in the middle of a rock somewhere. No one's ever been harmed with teleportation. On this level, and that's why I have the teleportation exercise on the site, and of course CDs to do that with the Time Travelers Training Program. No, I've done this dozens and dozens of times, and I've had patients from all over the world, thousands of them literally doing this. No one has ever been harmed with teleportation or any out-of-body experience. Teleportation, of course, is more extreme because the physical body goes from one place to another. So you don't have to worry about it. We can't predict. When I do teleportation, or patients of mine have done that, you can't just say, okay, I want to go to this longitude and latitude exactly and this and that. It's not as accurate as that, as a time traveler will do with their devices. But we're not using fifth-dimensional computer chips. We're using our mind, our soul's energy, and our higher self, if you will, which is far less proficient than the mechanical technology that developed in 1,500 years. But this case of Kamar is fascinating because his case is a lot more complicated. It deals with Atlantis and Lemuria and the old electric wars. It's a beautiful case, which, of course, your listeners can read about in detail with the Past Life, Future Life Revealed book. But the point about this is that this man becomes a time traveler, and he had no intonation towards this. This guy was not a metaphysical vortex. He was a very straight-laced, conservative businessman. He came to me with other issues. He didn't say, let's go into the future and see what I'm going to be. That wasn't his mentality. It was done at the end of therapy, actually. And so to me, it's a fascinating example. And the description of teleportation to the nth degree is to me something that's fascinating. In my Time Travels from Our Future book, I also describe the case of Raju, who describes how the Pyramid of Giza and all these megaliths from ancient times were built.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, his case is, this is fascinating because, see, people think that, you know, they give all the 100,000 slaves in 20 years, and that's garbage. I mean, there were less than 3,000 huts built, so all that stuff is just a joke. Again, you can't, you know, you have to use a little common sense here. Roger is this man who went through a lot of personal changes as he was working with me. He was an alcoholic. He was adulterous. He's doing everything. And we went through all kinds of cleansing techniques. And then he described missing time episodes. And he described them being abducted, if you will, taken back through a craft, if you will, back to the times of the Pyramid of Giza and to also the Stonehenge time. And this is what he described. A pyramidal-shaped flying car hovered 6 to 9 feet above the ground. It seemed to blow a constant stream of air down from the center of its underside to maintain its hovering capacity. Roger noted two small circular anti-gravity generators that were used to move and place the large and heavy stones of the pyramid. This is the Giza example. There were at least three of these cars present at all times. These are anti-gravity flying crafts, as they're called, by the way. They had multidimensional properties that could alter the magnetic lines of force, these intergalactic lines of the Giza Basin to lift these very huge stones. The movement of these crafts was by a continual pulse, which could alter both the speed and altitude of the vehicle instantly. There were 8 small circular lights on the underside of the craft and 5 large ones on the sides near the angles of the triangle so that they could work at night. There was also a triangular-shaped insignia on the hood of the craft, which was usually driven by a gray. Remember, in the time travel team, the grays are the gophers. The human time traveler are the leaders. And whenever you see a triangular-shaped insignia anywhere, anybody's got a badge, anybody's got it on a vehicle, you're talking about the future. You're talking about a time traveler. That's their MO.